his obedience to build the ark. 120 years building an ark, preaching to the people, it's going to rain. And they said, what's rain? He said, that's when water comes out of the sky. And they'd never heard of that because God had watered the plants from beneath before. And he preached. He preached and preached and preached. And nobody listened. How many times today do we talk to people at work? They already know it all. They're all set. They don't need to hear from God's word on anything. They've already got their minds made up. I mean, you guys, you talk to them, you see them. We try to tell them, but God's word, well, what is that? What is that? This is God's word. This is God's word. No respect for God's word today. As I've said before, the old days of the coffee table in the living room and the family Bible was there. At least there was a respect. That's God's word. That's God's word. And it's not in our homes today. God's word is important. Noah took God's word, took it to his family, and saved his family. Let's have a word of prayer before we go into our lesson. Father in heaven, we're thankful for this day. Lord, I pray for your word and for your spirit to work in each heart here today. Lord, there's many different needs sitting in this room today. We all have burdens that we carry, hard things that are in our life. Lord, we pray that you would help us to bring our cares to you, our burdens to you, because you have promised to give us exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Lord, we pray for that. Lord, we pray that your spirit would have free reign here today. Lord, that we'd be focused on your word and on you, not on distractions, whatever distractions may come into this room. Pray that your word would be central. Pray for our pastor this morning, the different Sunday school teachers throughout both buildings. Pray for safety as pastor travels and safety as a group heads down for mission school. Pray for your blessing on them. Now, Lord, once again, we pray for this room, these people, your word and your spirit. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Turn with me in your Bibles to Hebrews. We'll probably jump back and forth between Hebrews and Genesis again as we do with these series. Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11, we'll read verses 1 through 7. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, but by the which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated, that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony, that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Following along in your lessons, Noah is an amazing character. He lived in a world of absolute wickedness. In the lowest time of human history, God saw that the world was so wicked, and it repented him that he had made man. In Genesis 6:5, and you can probably hold your place back there in Hebrews as well. In Genesis 6:5, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Noah lived in a wicked day. You and I live in a wicked day. Much wickedness around Noah. Every imagination of the thoughts of the heart was only evil continually. That's a wicked day to live. Noah lived in a wicked time of human history. We do as well. You would almost wonder if we were ever a Christian nation anymore. The way we are, as who was it, Judge Robert Bork, slouching towards Gomorrah. How did that vote come out? Anybody here? I don't have the news. Oh, they couldn't get their votes. Yes. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. They didn't have the votes. They couldn't shove it over. Well, praise the Lord. Good. Good. Maybe there's still a little bit of hope. Hey, maybe there's still enough righteous people in the city. We're here. We've got God's word. We'll be the righteous people. We'll be the ones. You be the one. I'll be the one. It's not recreational to do it either. It's hard work. It's hard work. If you're going to be the one, it's hard work. It takes time. It takes time in prayer. It takes time in God's word. If you're going to be the one, if you're going to be the righteous one, to stand between this world and total destruction. Praise the Lord. I'm glad to hear that report. I don't, reason I don't know is I don't have a television, so I don't watch the news, so I just catch whatever I catch at work or whatnot, or what I get when I get here. Somehow the world still goes on, though, and I don't hear it. So I guess it wasn't all that important to me. God, when he saw the wickedness of man, said, I'm going to destroy the earth. I'm going to destroy the earth. He determined to destroy the world. God found one man who would listen. He spoke to him. He told Noah that he was going to what he was going to do, and Noah believed every word the Lord spoke. You and I should believe every word the Lord speaks. We have it better than Noah did. You know why? Because we hold the written word in our hand. Noah didn't have the benefit of holding God's word in his hand. We have the written word given to us. We have a better opportunity than Noah had, if I can say that, because we have this. We can go back to it. What did that say? It's written in our language. It's understandable to us. I was talking to a girl this week at work, and somebody had given her Bible that would be a little easier to understand. I said, listen. I said, you're well smart enough to understand this book. This book is not that hard. Understanding is not the hard part. Is it? What's the hard part? Living it. That's the hard part. I said, you get a good King James Bible, and I said, God will help you understand it. You can understand God's word. God didn't make it hard for us. He didn't hide it from us. When God gives us his will, he is trying to reveal it to us. He is actively trying to reveal it to us. He's not hiding it from us. We don't have to wonder if our God is happy with how we're living today or what we're doing. We have a clear program here in which we are to go. Following along in your lesson, the Lord describes Noah in Hebrews 11:7, which is your memory verse. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. Was Noah saved because he built the ark? Somebody? No, was his family saved because he built the ark? They were saved physically, weren't they? They sure were. They were saved physically. When they climbed on the ark, did they get salvation at that point? No, they already had salvation. They were a righteous people. That's why God put them on the ark and protected them. But Noah did build the ark, and it was to the saving of his family physically. We certainly know that his family was saved from the peril of the flood because he boarded the ark. But Noah was already a believer when he built the ark. His faith was demonstrated by his actions. Our faith should be demonstrated by the lives that we live. Pastor preaches a message, and I love his messages. You can remember them for a long time, or at least the title and the main points. I don't know how he achieves that. But he preached the one message, and they all started with an L, and talked about God's word and us being a witness and how we would do it. And he started with the L of our life. Is our life a witness? Is our life a witness? And he talked about our lips, and he talked about our literature, and he talked about our labor, and he talked about our, what was the last one? Our liquidity. Our liquidity. We demonstrate in our actions, in all those things, the faith that we have. The Lord sees it. Others around us see it. The world sees it. Hopefully, when the world sees our lives, they see the Lord Jesus Christ. Noah lived in a wicked day. Noah probably, they say, probably employed men to help him build the ark. They say more than likely he paid people because it was quite an undertaking. So for that 120 years as he was building the ark, he was paying people to help work on that boat and preaching the kingdom of righteousness, preaching righteousness, and yet no one repented, and yet no one repented. They all believed after it was too late. They believed after God shut that door and the rain started coming out of the sky and it built up and it built up and it built up. They believed too late. We've got to take the gospel to them. We've got to do it. If we don't, who's going to? We've got to take it. Noah preached it. We got to preach it. Moment by moment, we are to believe God and place our faith in him. Philippians 2:12, if you turn with me to Philippians 2:12. Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Now, does this mean I do good deeds for salvation? No, it doesn't mean that. It doesn't mean that. And people can take this and say, hey, but that says that. What is so nice about God's word is, as Pastor said, this is the best commentary on God's word right here. This is it. God's word is the best commentary on God's word. So when someone says, well, it says work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, does that mean we're working to be saved? No. Titus 3:5 says that it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Here's where we find Noah in the sixth chapter of Genesis at this point of mankind. Noah's faith. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, Noah built the ark for 120 years. He did not build the ark because of what he saw. He built the ark because God told him. It was a work of faith. It was totally 100% of faith. God told me this, and I'm going to do it. And, you know, you almost wonder after 50 years, after 75 years, after 100 years, you know, are you sure God told you to do this? God told me to do it. No doubt in my mind. I just know I got a schedule to keep, and I got to keep moving. There was no doubt in Noah's mind. No doubt. He had a job to do, and he had the faith to do it. And his God was certainly big enough. The Bible says in Genesis 2, 5 through 6, let's look at that. Genesis 2, 5 through 6. Genesis 2, 5, and 6. And every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground. But there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. They'd never seen rain on the earth up to this time. It was something that was brand new to them when it started falling from the sky, because before this time, God had watered the plants from the ground. It had not rained as yet. Noah was now preaching that it was going to rain. The earth would be flooded. The only place of safety would be on board the ark that God had Noah prepare. In Genesis 6, and then let's go to verse 9. Genesis 6 and verse 9. Just keep my Bible turned here. Genesis 6 and verse 9. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generation, and Noah walked with God. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generation. What a testimony to have that he was a righteous man. Noah was a righteous man. Then it goes through there in chapter 6, gives the command to do the building, how to build it, and then in verse 22, this did Noah according to all that God had commanded him. So did he. Noah had faith in God. Noah had faith in God. He had faith in God to do the job. He had faith in God for 120 years. You got to think somebody laughed at him. What are you doing? You got to think the guys that were getting paid to work were thinking, man, I'm glad to make this money, but this guy is a nut. It's going to rain. I don't even know what rain is. And he says it's going to do it. And for 120 years, that is faith. Sometimes I don't have enough faith, it seems like, to get through the next hour of what I need to do sometimes. And yet here Noah for 120 years. Why did Noah do it? Because God had told him to do it. And he was going to obey God. He did it because of his faith in God. The God whom he already knew as his Savior gave him instructions. God revealed to him things that the human eye could not see. And he believed what God had said. As God gives us commands, as he speaks to us and tells us, quit a good paying job. Go on the mission field. On the mission sheets pastor gives out, it says how to pray for missionaries. Pray for their parents as they quit jobs. The parents pray, are you doing the right thing? Pray for their parents. Our kids just got back from mission school. By God's grace, in the next 6 months, he'll be quitting a good job to raise his support to go out onto the field. Pray for the parents. Man, it's not easy. It's not easy. I mean, today to get a good job is a hard thing. To get a good paying job, it's nothing to be sneezed at. Pray for the parents. Pray for them. Pray for the parents. These guys, how many people went to mission school for? This week, who was it? Kaylee and... Oh, okay, then Pastor Seth. Okay. Pray for those people. Pray for people because this going to the mission field is not an easy thing. You give up your life. You give up everything. And you give it up, why? Because God has called you to do it. With no doubt, no fear. God called me to do this. I'm doing it. That takes a lot of faith. My daughter went off to Bible college and married a young preacher boy who's got a heart for God. And when his God told him to do it, he's willing to do it. He's willing to go. He's willing to do whatever it takes. Whatever his God wants him to do, he's going to do. in a country where Philippines, they're not going to have the healthcare system that we have. They're not going to have all that stuff. Is our God big enough to be in the Philippines? Yeah. Can he feed you there? Yeah, he can. Can he take care of your health there? Yeah, he can. Our God is big enough. Noah's God was big enough. That same God, the God of all creation, is a God that you and I serve each day. And he is a great God. And he loves us. And he has a plan for us. He has a plan for our children. Don't hold God's plan back from your children. You know, as a dad, you think, man, that's a nice paying job. You guys could have a nice life. What's it about? It's about what God has for you to do. What does God have for you? You won't do something that doesn't take faith. Everything God has for you will take faith. It'll take faith. Some people will look at you and wonder. Let them. That's okay. You do what God has told you to do. And to all of us, it's different things. But God has a plan for us. Call upon every day, moment by moment, to exercise faith in our Redeemer. Is he worthy? Yeah, yes. Is he big enough to do it? I'll tell you what. He made this earth. He made and created all the order that we see. He's big enough to take care of you and I. He sure is. And he wants to. He wants to. Moment by moment, exercise our faith in our Redeemer and to live for things we cannot behold with our human eyes. We can't behold with our human eyes. That's faith. Walking out there as God tells us to walk. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark. Why did Noah have this fear? What fear did Noah have? God warned Noah, you may ask, what did Noah think about this warning? He believed it. If we could hear Noah preaching in his day, we would hear him saying, God has warned me, judgment is coming. The message hasn't changed. Judgment is coming. A month ago, a guy preached a message, judgment is coming. He was right. Judgment is coming. But he tried to put a date on it, and God didn't put a date on it. In fact, even the Son doesn't know. The Father knows. God didn't put a date on it. Judgment is coming. The boss at work, well, why would you preach judgment's coming? Because judgment is coming. You need to do something about it. Do you want to be part of that judgment or would you prefer not to be part of that judgment? Noah preached judgment was coming. You and I need to preach judgment's coming. We preach it with people that we work with. We preach it with whatever groups we're in. We're in quilt clubs. We're in whatever. Wherever we are with the unsaved, we need to preach judgment's coming. Why? Because judgment is coming. Man needs to make a decision. Judgment is coming. If you do not believe, you will perish. When you hear someone preaching on the coming judgment, how do we respond? 2 Peter 3:10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. When nobody expects it, the day of the Lord is going to come. God is going to judge the world. The only place of safety is in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's in the ark. It's in the ark. Of whom the ark was a type. Matthew 24 talks about the ark being a type. Let's look at that real quick. Matthew 24:37. But as the days of Noah were, so also the coming of the Son of Man shall be. Verse 38, for as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. A type. You see that he uses the word type here. We believe that a type is something as we read about it in the Old Testament, and then when we get to the New Testament, it says it right here. It talks about it. It says, as in this, that is this. We would believe that that is a type. You see the word there in your lesson. The ark is a type of Christ. Salvation came in the ark. Salvation comes through the Lord Jesus Christ. Noah's primary fear was not the coming flood. Noah wasn't worried about the water that was coming. Noah's fear was that he would obey a holy God. That he would obey a holy God. Our God is to be feared. Man laughs. We preach Christ and man laughs. They laugh at us. God is to be feared. When we fear the Lord as we should, we are not afraid of the circumstances of the world. We're not afraid of the rain coming out of the sky because we're in the ark. We're in Christ. We have salvation. Mankind today does not fear God. Romans 3:18, there is no fear of God before their eyes. There's no fear of God before their eyes. And certainly today that is the case. There's a coming day when man will fear. There sure is. Revelation 6:15-17, the kings, the great men, the rich men, and all will hide themselves from the Lamb. They'll cry to the mountains and to the caves, fall upon us. Why? Because the Lamb is going to release his wrath on the unsaved. They will fear man. Hebrews 12:29 says, for our God is a consuming fire. Not a little campfire we have in the backyard. A consuming, 100% all of it. Our God is a consuming fire. Revelation 1:18, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. And I have with me the keys of death and hell. The keys of death and hell. The Lamb, the God to be feared, the God to be served. Psalm 2. Psalm 2, I love that psalm. Man thinks he's so much. And the Bible says that God laughs at man. As man turns his nose at God, he sits in the heavens and he laughs. The Lord shall have them in derision. You go ahead, man. You think you're everything. No, I'm God. In Matthew 4, verses 35 through 41, we see Christ in the boat and we see multiple ships there heading out across the water. And the water is swelling up and swelling up. And everybody got afraid. Man, we're going to die. We're going to die. Lord, get up. Get up, we're afraid. The Lord comes out and says, peace be still. And it all quiets down at the word of God. Man, that's power. Then instead of fear in the water, they're fearing the God of the water. Because when they saw that power, it made them afraid. What do you think the guys in the smaller ships around them were thinking? Man, I can see when they got to shore, man, did you see that storm out there? We don't know what happened, but our ship was being tossed, and all of a sudden it got quiet. And the guys that were on the boat where the Lord was says, I'll tell you what happened. The God of all creation stood up and said, peace be still. And he said, is that what happened? That's what happened. I was there. I saw it. Wow. The God of all creation. Our God is to be feared. He's to be loved, but he's to be feared. He is to be feared. Why is he to be feared? Because he's a holy God. He's a holy God. There'll be no sin in heaven. There'll be no sin in heaven. Philippians 4:19. We know that the God we fear will care for us. He cares for us. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. God will supply all of our needs. Noah's family, Noah loved his family like we love our families. The Bible says, by faith, Noah prepared an ark to the saving of his house. by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. The way he led his family condemned the world. When a man follows Christ, it is condemnation to those that are around him. It's condemnation. I can remember working with people. I can remember a guy that was a Christian. He wasn't walking with the Lord, and he hated me. He hated the sight of me. And one day, he went to a revival meeting. And he came back the next day and said, "Brother Rayburn, I am so sorry. I have treated you like dirt." And he had. He said, "The Lord spoke to my heart last night. And he said, when I get around you, and I'm not saying I'm anything, I'm nothing. And I mean that, I'm nothing. But he said, when I got around you, it was just a reminder of where I should have been, where I should have been." And I said, "Praise the Lord, brother. It's good to have you back. It's good to have you back." And the Lord's forgiving, and we can come to those points, and we can come back. We can come back any time. We can come back after murder. David did. He came back, didn't he? He begged God for forgiveness. He confessed his sin, and God forgave him. And David is the man after God's own heart, after murder, after all that he did. We can come back. You and I can come back. No matter where we are or where we've been, we can come back. Noah loved his family, and he knew they needed to be on the ark. Dads, moms, it's an important job. Grandparents, it's an important job. It's an important job to raise your family in righteousness and being a man to try to do it. It'd be a lot easier if you were an angel or something, I would think. You know, but we're man. We have sin. We have frailties. And yet we've got to bring them up in righteousness. We've got to win our family. We have got to win our family. We have got to win our family. If we don't win our families, we didn't win. We've got to win our families. That's our job. That's our job. We've got to do it. Noah loved his family, knew that they needed to be on the ark. Likewise, we need to tell our loved ones that God is real and that he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for our sins. We need to tell them that he rose from the dead and that the only place of safety is in Jesus Christ. The only place of safety is in Jesus Christ. We've got to tell them. Have we failed in the past? Hello? We failed. Will the Lord forgive us? Yes. Can we take God's word to them? Yes. Will they believe it? That's going to be their choice. But we've got to take it to them. That's our job. We've got to take it to them. However you do it, it can be a gospel tract laid on your dad's dresser. But take it. Our literature, our lips, our lives, take it. We've got to take it. This is an admonition to all of us to pray and to do, to pray and to do. There's only one door, there's only one way, one escape, only one boat. Noah got his family on board. We need to get our family and our loved ones on board. John 14:6. Terry, can you say John 14:6? You've got it on your board. Can you say that for me? Terry, don't look around, brother. I'm talking to you. I know you've got it in your garage or something, don't you? Can you say that for us? No, okay, I didn't. Okay, that's fine. Terry didn't know I was going to ask him that. I sent him back. Is it popping in there? What's that? Okay. John 14:6, Jesus saith unto him. Excellent. Nice job, Terry. Yeah, there is. But if you get the way, the truth, and the life, you've gotten a lot of the verse. You've gotten a lot of it. A lot of verses, we just know sections. James 5:16. What's it say? The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Does it say a lot more than that? Yeah, it does. But we can say that, and we can have those little pieces, those little jewels, and we can remember them. John 14:6. Jesus saith unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. We've got to take the ark to them. We've got to take Jesus Christ to them. Thank you very much for coming. Actually, let's run over those questions real quick. Sorry, Kelly, I do this every week. Questions. Monday. Who verified the Old Testament account of Noah and the flood? Say it loud. Jesus Christ. Genesis 6:5 described the spiritual and moral condition of the world. Wicked. Anything else? Evil? Okay, excellent. The wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. What warning did the Lord give to Noah? I'm gonna destroy the earth. You better go tell people, I'm going to destroy the earth. They better deal with it. Was Noah's faith counted on... How was Noah's faith connected to his obedience to God? His faith was demonstrated by his actions. What did Noah do? What did Noah do that was a condemnation to the world around him? Built the ark. He built the ark. He lived a righteous life and he built the ark. He had faith. 2 Peter 3, 9 and 10, which should stir our hearts to have faith in God just as Noah did. What should we preach? Judgment is coming. Judgment is coming. Thank you for coming. Thank you very much. I hope you found it to be a blessing. If you have any questions, see me personally.